You know, these are difficult times, but they're also exciting times, especially over the last week since a ordinary chapel service at Asbury University in Kentucky has continued around the clock for a whole week. We have no idea how long. We have no idea the significance of this revival, but my feeling is, thank God something is happening. Let's praise God for the good reports. And one of the reports is it's beginning to spread to other places. And as we hear this, we're trying to track them down one by one. And it was all over social media that something is happening at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, just a couple hundred miles from Asbury. And so I called my longtime friend, Dr. Mark Walker, who is the new president for only 2.5 years, to ask him what's happening. And so he fit in time into his very busy schedule to talk about the very unique thing that's been going on at Lee just for 50 hours. Now, I realize that this will be on YouTube for a long time, but for those of you who are watching it and listening to it in February, this is up-to-date news. This is news as it's happening. So you don't want to miss this episode of The Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back, and I'm so honored to be able to interview the president of Lee University, Mark Walker, who I've known since early in his ministry, and he's well known as the son of Paul Walker, but now you're the president of Lee, following in some pretty big shoes, I might say, with Paul Kahn, anyone who knows the story of Lee, which we've been covering at Charisma for many years now. And I appreciate you fitting this in. I know you're super busy, but we're following what God is doing at Asbury University. And we get reports that the revival is spilling over into other places. And it's all over social media that something's happening at Lee. So I thought I'd come to the top, man. Tell us what's happening from your perspective.
Well, thank you, Steve, first of all, for the opportunity. And yeah, we're not exactly sure what is happening. Is it revival? It certainly has the overtones of it, but we're not sure. It's about 50 hours into basically what began as kind of an organic, spontaneous prayer vigil by a handful of students. At the time of this, that you and I are talking, this is Wednesday afternoon. Well, Monday of this past week, a group of students in one of our School of Theology and Ministry classes, certainly they have heard about the Asbury Revival. And I think, I don't know for certain, but I believe a couple of them had actually been to the Asbury Revival the past weekend. And so in the class, they're talking about, you know, what if something like this could come to Lee? And we're talking with their professor about, well, can we start praying about it? To which he said, well, sure. And they said, well, can we go to the chapel? We have a stone chapel. And he said, well, yeah, if it's open, we'll go. And so they went, it was open, and they just started praying. And this happened about 10:30, 11 a.m. on Monday of this week. And I'm not exactly sure, but I think some of those students began to text some of their friends and said, hey, we're praying. And so students just begin to gather throughout the day. And by, I didn't know anything about it till 2 o'clock that afternoon. And one of our administrators came in and said, hey, we got about 30 or 40 students that are gathered in the chapel and they're praying and seeking God about God moving at Lee. I said, wow, wonderful. But my schedule, I wasn't able to get over there till later in the day. Got over there. By the time I got in there, it had swelled about to maybe 40, 50 students. And it was primarily students. We had some faculty in there. As we found out this was happening, we got some folks in there to provide some leadership and to help just manage things. And it was beautiful. I mean, this was just spontaneous prayers, spontaneous worship from these students. There was nobody standing on a stage. We didn't have a worship leader. There wasn't a single instrument. This was just organic, out of the heart, these students seeking and praising God together, praying. It was a beautiful thing. I sat in there and I didn't want to get in the way. I went up to the balcony of this and I just sat there for 2.5 hours. My wife joined me. We just watched, and it just continued to grow. By about that time, there's about 60 or 70 students. My wife and I go to dinner. We go home. We got leadership there, so I'm checking back with leadership, and they're saying, Dr. Walker, we got about 100, 150 people in here. I said, I'm coming back. So I went back about 11 o'clock Monday night, stayed there till after 2 in the morning, and we probably had about 150 people in this chapel. And this chapel seats maybe 300 and maybe not even quite that many. But I stayed there that whole time, and it was students really leading. We had other folks in there, leadership leading, lead leadership administrators. It was prayer. It was worship. By that time, a guitarist showed up from somewhere and was playing the guitar and helping to lead. Praying for needs, praying for burdens. Students were standing up, beginning to testify about what God was doing in their lives. It was just a beautiful thing to behold.
Reminds me of early days of Pentecost.
Exactly.
Of course, neither you or I were around in the early days, yeah. But yeah. You know, there was a day when the Lord would move in a church and people would stay at the altars, usually after a Sunday night service or something, and pray through. Do you remember that expression?
Oh, yeah.
Don't see that much anymore. Nope. If anything, they have to clear out the service for the service that's following.
Exactly right.
To clear the parking lot. So, I mean, this is a beautiful, spontaneous, very Pentecostal thing to do. And you know, you probably know a lot of the students, and without divulging any identities, of course, but were these the spiritual leaders on campus, or were these the ones that just kind of like enjoyed their campus experience like only college students can, and this is coming back to God? How would you characterize what you saw? Was it repentance? Was it just praise and worship? Were they praying in tongues? Were they laying hands on people? Kind of verbally give us the picture of what was happening.
Okay, quick and short answer, yes to all those things. I mean, yes, I would say the students that I did know, you could classify them as perhaps the spiritual leaders on campus. Many of these students were out of our school in theology and ministry, so I knew them. So yes, you could say that, but not all of them were. And we started getting some community folks in as they were hearing about it as well. But yes, there was repentance taking place. There was a foot washing that occurred. One of the faculty member that was in charge of leading at that particular time felt led to do a foot washing of one of the students, which was a beautiful moment. There was praying in tongues. We had students that were filled with the Holy Spirit. We had some that came forward to give their lives to Christ. You had the whole panorama of you know, what you would consider to be what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of us and in every church and in every gathering of followers of Christ. And certainly it's signs of revival, you know, exactly that.
Well, there's revival of different kinds.
Yes.
All kinds of ways. I mean, if somebody gets turned on to Jesus, there's a revival of one. Right. But we haven't seen anything like this maybe since the Toronto outpouring, or maybe what happened in Brownsville,
right,
at Pensacola, Florida. And it happened a week ago, the day that we're filming this or recording it. And so it's very, very new, of course. But, you know, to me, it's exciting because 2 or 3 days before this showed up in social media, I was talking to a friend of mine that was very concerned about another Christian institution that he was a big donor to. And he was telling me that the School of Theology was toying with CRT and some of these things that, you know, I was just scratching my head and saying, how can this be? It's almost like we need some kind of move of God to come against the onslaught that we face in our culture from the secular community, which is always secular, of course, but lately it seems more and more and more, and it's infiltrating a lot of the Christian institutions. And I'm just so encouraged to hear that this is happening at Lee. Thankfully, you don't have that reputation. I mean, Lee has been a great Christian university now for around 100 years, isn't it?
Over 100 years. We're in our 104th year.
Wow. That's a long time. Yeah. And I think that the Church of God actually predated Azusa Street, didn't it? And the early leaders came into Pentecost and brought it all over the South. I mean, you can't drive across the South without seeing a Church of God church.
Exactly.
It's just amazing what's happened. And Lee is kind of the epicenter of what's gone on for all this 100 years. So I guess I'm not asking very good questions, but I'm wanting to talk about this. What is the antidote to Christian institutions or even Christian individuals just becoming more and more like the world? It's this kind of repentance and praise and prayer and seeking God, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, Steve, for this generation, I mean, this, you know, we're talking 18, 19, 20 year olds, right? This generation, what has now been dubbed Generation Z, I guess is the new name here. You know, look what they've been through. Look what they've been exposed to. You know, COVID. I mean, this is a generation that for a year, 2 years kind of just got shut down, you know, put off to the side, and, you know, school was different. And I mean, they really just, you know, have had such challenges at such their young ages. You look at just and social media, what all they can be exposed to just within social media, the progressive type of culture that we find ourselves in. You mentioned the secular culture. This generation has been so inundated with this.
And they were born right after 9/11, which changed everything.
Absolutely.
And, same-sex marriage was endorsed by the Supreme Court. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but it certainly became the law of the land because of that Supreme Court decision in 2015. I mean, you know, I came up during the Vietnam War era, civil rights movement, the sex and drugs. We thought it was pretty bad back then, and it was, but it was nothing compared to what this generation faces.
Yeah. And just so much confusion, you know, confusion of identity, confusion of, you know, leadership. Who can you trust? Just they have witnessed so much disunity and division within church, division within the political arena of our nation, division. I mean, the cancel culture, they have been so almost abused, so much abuse, I think, that this generation has witnessed. And just so many of their leaders and people that should be showing them the way that have let them down, this type of an experience is something I think is hugely needed by this generation. And this is a cry of their heart. This is a cry out of the depths of their soul, because everything that was promised to them about what could satisfy them, what could give them what they needed, all the exposure to media, all the exposure to Hollywood, the entertainment, the celebrity factor that these students have kind of bought into, or this generation has bought into so much, and those celebrities letting them down and not coming through. I mean, all these different disappointments, hurts, it is, in my opinion, almost a form of abuse to this generation and these students. So this, I really believe, is just a cry out of their soul to the only one they know that can truly satisfy.
That is so well said. Let me ask you two more questions as we wrap up this short podcast. First of all, the young people that you describe are not only in the colleges, but they're in our churches, or maybe their parents are in the churches and they're not at home. You know, the ones that go to college are more or less the elites. They're the, you know, they are sharp enough. They have the money to go to college to prepare to be leaders in their own right. But the need is for the whole generation. Why do you think, and we're speculating very early, that God did this on college campuses instead of in churches or conferences or in other settings where a revival could have started?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know that I have a great answer for that. Maybe it's to say this isn't a denominational thing. This isn't one group of spiritual or religious people thing. This is just something that breaks through all of that. And it's a God thing. Nobody can take credit. It's not from some revivalist. No disrespect to anybody that's a revivalist, if you know what I mean by that, or some evangelist, or some, it didn't come out of a series of revival services. This is God saying, this is me. The only one that gets credit for this is me. The only one that gets the glory is me. I'm the answer. This generation needs to know that. And I also believe this is the generation to change the next generation. This is a generation to bring great transformation to our world and to our society. So God is just doing this, his thing to these folks. And you know, that's the best answer I got at this moment in time.
It was a good one. And that's a good segue to my next question. How can the church at large accept these students and accept what's happening? Because, you know, you'll remember the great move of God that we call the charismatic movement,
right?
Where this kind of thing happened in denominations, and almost without exception, the denominations did everything they could to quash it, to get people to give up on it. Or if they wouldn't, they had to kind of leave the denomination, and they probably ended up in the Church of God or the Assemblies of God or somewhere else. But you know, this is a pure and holy thing, at least it appears to be, by what's happening now. What needs to happen next to have this happen in the whole church and not to quash it?
Wow, that's another great question. You know, I think in some respects it's the idea of, okay, yeah, we've got these different denominations, but in all those denominations, we have common ground. If you look at who we are as these denominations that are what you would call Orthodox Christians, there's common ground that we can have. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit is God. I think if we can find that common ground and be able to come there together, and while at the same time recognizing there's not any denomination that understands and knows everything about God, that God can and will move beyond what we as denominations have boxed him in to be and do. But if we can find that common ground, yeah, Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of God. He's the only way to God. The Holy Spirit exists. He is God. He's doing a work. And come there and be there together at the same time while saying, okay, we don't have everything about God in every denomination. God can do different things than what we have boxed him in to do. I mean, I know this is a rough, raw answer. So, you know, I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord. So understand that. While saying that, and I think listening to one another, hearing the stories of these folks, hearing what, how God maybe is changing them through this, and listening to where they come from and what the Lord might be doing, and being open to hearing those stories, I think is another way. You know, there's this thing I think we have happening all across in our culture, is this idea of everybody wants to be understood, but not many of us are seeking to understand. I want to be understood, but I think there's this deep need that we've got to seek to understand, hear what someone else is saying, hear their story, get in their shoes. I mean, that was the great thing about Jesus Christ. My gosh, he came to this earth as God, but he came and stepped into our shoes to get into our story, to step into our broken world. And he's doing it again. You know, he's doing it again. By his spirit. I'm sorry for my emotion, but I mean, And there's always going to be the Pharisees. You know, they tried to stop Jesus then. They're going to try to stop him now. It's always going to be there.
But you're right. There's this deep longing for this.
I've been at Lee 5.5 years, 2.5 as president. I was a pastor for 33 years, Steve. I didn't think I'd ever be anything more than a pastor. And God divinely interrupted my world, my wife and I, and we pastored the same church in Atlanta for 25 years. And divinely interrupted our world to call us here to Lee. I came as a vice president for ministerial development to work with young men and women who were going into ministry. And then along that pathway became the president. When Dr. Kahn decided he was going to move aside, he was made chancellor. And I interviewed for the presidency and the board believed I was to be the one. But what I'm saying to all that is what brought me here, what brought my wife and I here was this deep burden and love and desire for this generation, these students. It's the only thing that could take me away from pastoring in a church. And a lot of what I do as a president is pastor. But it's what brought me here is the love for these students and my wife and I, our heart for these students. And Lee University is so much of what they are. They love students. That's what they do. It's what we do best. You know, institutions can be research institutions. Some can be scholarship institutions. And we certainly do a lot of research and scholarship. We have some of the top academic faculty you can find anywhere. But man, what we desire is engaging students, helping students find God, helping the students discover their calling in God, discover their gifts, and seeing their lives transform. And what I have seen in 5 years being here, students coming in with so much anxiety, so much mental health issues, so many challenges coming out of a lot of different broken backgrounds, and then just seeing what God's trying to do right now. And it's Jesus Christ stepping back into our world, I believe, getting back into our mess. Not that he ever left it, but in a deep way that I believe will put an eternal transforming work in these students, in their hearts. And here at Lee, I don't know how long this is going to last, Steve. I don't know. We're just trying to walk with God through this. We're trying to not let some groups, or I've got to be careful here, come in with their own agenda of what this needs to look like. And we're just trying to navigate and hear God and provide the guardrails for our students in this move. And it's an exciting time. It's an uncertain time. We believe it's a monumental moment for us as an institution, but even what it might do in terms of this community area around us. What we're seeing now is we're seeing more community people come in. That's what can churches do? I just think the more they recognize that God's not done, and that maybe some of the ways we've boxed him in, we need to rethink and let him be God.
Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate you sharing your heart. We could probably talk for hours. Yeah. I'm just so encouraged by what I hear. I have a long relationship with Lee. I have so much respect for what you're doing and what your predecessor, Paul Kahn, did. And as we wrap this up, and before I come back with a final word, just tell my viewers and listeners how they can connect with Lee. I know people are going to want to find out more. What is the best website that people can go to find out about Lee? Maybe they have students, that are looking around for a good Christian university, and I'd certainly recommend Lee.
Absolutely. Website, www.leeuniversity.edu. Leeuniversity.edu. Go on there. You can find all the information you need to get in touch with us. My email address is in there. I can tell you what it is. mwalker at leeuniversity.edu. They can email me, go on that website. We'll get people in touch with them that need to talk with them and give them the information they need. We would love to hear from them.
Well, thank you. And thank you for fitting this in. This is news that's happening right now. Just, you said it was 50 hours old. And so thank you. And I'll be back with a word. That was an amazing interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I had an idea of what was happening. Of course, I interviewed Dr. Walker to try to find out more specifically, but everything he said, just, I found it so exciting. In my spirit, I was just going, yes, you know, thank you, God, that this is happening. And it's happening other places, and we will try to track it down. I want you to share this with others. Let's make this go viral. Let's let people know what's going on. And if you can't go to Asbury, maybe you can go by Lee University and participate in what's happening. And it's happening other places. And let me wrap up by just encouraging you to subscribe. I was just told that the subscriptions have really gone up, and we're trying to get more and more people to subscribe as we give these up-to-date reports of what God is doing, not only at Asbury and Lee, but in many, many places. In a way, it's what I've been doing for the last 4 decades. And I just want to call your attention to this new book. It's called Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. It comes out in May, very close to Pentecost. We just got these advanced reader copies that we're sending out to key leaders and also to the media. And so I'm so happy. I'm holding up a copy because I want to show it. And we'll be talking about it later. But you know, in the book, I talk about the upside-down world and how the power of the Holy Spirit is what we need in our personal lives as well as in the culture. And what we're seeing here, this revival, is an indication that God is answering our prayers and people are being touched by the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I even alluded to it a little bit, talking about the early days of Pentecost in this interview. And I just hope that you'll go on Amazon and order a pre-copy. You won't get the copies until when it comes out, but it helps us to get the ball rolling. If you go on and pre-order it, and Amazon will actually charge you on the release day, which happens to be May 16th, and you can get your very own copy. Thank you for watching and listening to the Strang Report today. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com.